Let's turn together to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13. I want to read verses 31 to 35, although I'm really only going to deal with the first parable here, the little parable of the mustard seed. So Matthew 13 and reading from verse 31. And Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And we finish our reading at verse 35. When I was very young, I was an avid reader. I've always been a reader. But when I was young, my favorite books were written by Enid Blyton. you may be interested to know that Enid Blyton wrote 762 books. I have read 700. No, I haven't. I've probably read most of the famous five mysteries, the secret seven, and the five find-outers. Just a wee hand show. Who remembers the secret seven or the famous five? Ah, wonderful. Wonderful. You're all ancient as me. I was intrigued by stories with the title of The Mystery of the Burnt-Out Cottage or The Mystery of the Secret Room. As I grew older, I graduated to whodunits and the writings of Agatha Christie. I must have read about 50 of hers. And then P.D. James. Interestingly, all women writers. One wonders, are women better at writing mysteries and whodunits? Give me a book with mystery in the title and you have me. Today we're going to look at the mustard seed mystery. And Jesus speaks of it in a short parable. This parable is repeated in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke, pretty much the same in each of the Gospels. It's one of the shortest of the parables, but it packs a punch. Jesus uses the mustard seed to illustrate what the kingdom of God is like. He doesn't explain it, but perhaps it's self-explanatory. But we're going to take a little bit of time to unpack it today. Why did Jesus tell parables? Because some people think he told them in one sense to be clearer, but in one sense he told parables to get people to go deeper. And sometimes he left them as mysteries. Sometimes he left them unexplained because he wanted people to go to go deeper with them. In Psalm 78 and 2, which is quoted here, it says, parables are about hidden things. And Jesus here is talking about the hidden secrets of the kingdom of God, or as Matthew calls it, the kingdom of heaven. And in using these parables, Jesus wanted to teach his listeners that the kingdom of heaven is maybe not what they expect. A lot of his parables corrected wrong assumptions which the Jewish people had about the kingdom of God and what it was like. Many were looking for a Messiah who would come in power and with might and force, kick out the Romans, establish a Jewish messianic reign with a Jewish king. But Jesus in these parables says, no, there's something different about my kingdom. It's hidden. It's more subtle. And so he looks to the world of agriculture for an illustration, as he often did. A rural culture which the people were familiar with. They were familiar with soils and plants and trees and lakes and fishing and so on. And in this parable, Jesus reminds his hearers about the mustard seed, which was known to them. It was one of the smallest seeds. You could hardly see it in the palm of your hand. And yet from this very small and insignificant seed, he says, a large shrub or tree, one of the largest in the garden, will grow, and birds will come and perch in it. So there is mystery here. How can something so small, the smallest of seeds, produce something so large? Three things I want to find or to say to you this morning about this parable. First of all, let's see the mystery of hiddenness, the mystery of hiddenness. Mysteries usually involve something hidden. That's why they're a mystery. The mystery of the mustard seed and why it is like the kingdom of God is because it is hidden. The kingdom of heaven operates out of weakness and hiddenness and smallness. You may have heard the phrase, we've used it often, the upside down kingdom. And that means that the values of God are so often upside down from the world's values. What the world exalts, God often brings down. What he does, he likes to invert things. He likes to invert values. God loves humility. God loves servant-heartedness. And the mustard seed is, in a sense, an illustration of this. Something small, something hidden, something that could very easily be trampled over and ignored. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1, he says, Jews demand signs. The Greeks, well, they're always looking for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. He says the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. He goes on to say, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Our world is obsessed with celebrity, with success, with influencers, with those who have made a name for themselves. And we see it also in the Christian world, don't we? It was interesting on the Wednesday night of New Horizon when Bear Grylls was being interviewed. You could hardly find a car space. The whole of Coleraine seemed to be blocked up as people tried to get to hear Bear Grylls because it's a name. He's a celebrity. And yet the mustard seed speaks of something hidden. It's built out of weakness, out of foolishness. Someone has said one needs a special faith to risk trusting one's whole life to something that lies hidden. Sometimes people use the phrase a leap in the dark when they're speaking about Christian faith. But the risk of faith, although it is a risk, it is not against the evidence. It maybe moves beyond the evidence, but it is not against the evidence or in spite of the evidence. A mustard seed faith, a faith in the kingdom of heaven, is a reliance on something hidden. But the important thing is it's faith in the right person. It's faith in Jesus. Over the past 6 months, we've been hearing a lot about a quiet revival, especially amongst Generation Z. We are seeing more young people, especially in England, turning up at church and asking for a Bible. This past week, I was speaking to another minister from Bangor, another Presbyterian minister, and he was saying he's noticing some young people just coming and sitting in the balcony, sitting as far away as possible, but they're listening. They're listening intently. And one morning, he stopped this guy on the way out of the church. He said, "Hello, you know, good to see you at church. You know, who are you? You know, have you a church background?" He said, "No." He says, hardly been to church in my life." And so he says, "Well, why are you here?" I bought myself a Bible. I started to read the Bible, and I'm really interested in Jesus, and I come to church to find out more about him." This completely on his own, completely out of the blue. And this is happening more and more and more, and they're calling it the Quiet Revival. In fact, on last Saturday's Times, I was interested to see that there was a whole article, quite a substantial article, Full Fat Faith, the Young Christian Converts Filling Up Our Churches. Now, if you're a reader of the Times or the Guardian or whatever, over the past 10 years, they've been very, very cynical about faith, very, very cynical, especially about the Christian faith. And 10 years ago, you would never have read an article about that, an article about young people flocking to the churches. Something is happening, something is changing. And the title of the article is Full Fat Faith. They're not looking for a watered-down faith. They're looking for even the mysterious elements of faith, because they want to go deeper. The article tells of a young, anxious generation which is poorer, lonelier, and less rooted. And they're looking for something huge, beautiful, and awe-inspiring. They're looking for God. They're looking to go deeper. They're looking for mystery and faith. And they're looking for church. In the words of the author of the article, he said, Christianity is rediscovering the vibrancy and the energy of a subculture. Now, a subculture is one that works underneath the radar. A subculture is one that is subtle. And so what the church is finding is that it's been so out of fashion, it's now in fashion. But that's always been the way of Jesus. Subtle, an undercurrent, going against the flow. And then suddenly, people start to get it. The kingdom of God is hidden. The kingdom of God operates out of weakness. And the kingdom of God is ultimately based on a man dying on a cross. And suddenly, Generation Z, or Generation Z as we would call them, are catching on to this. They're seeing mystery here. They're seeing transcendence. They're seeing something that is significant and worthwhile. And especially in the cities, they're just turning up at churches. A few years ago, I would have said, you know, anybody coming into ministry, it's going to be a really, really difficult season, a really difficult period, and it will be. But there are sparks of light, there are sparks of hope, and things are happening. God is doing something. The kingdom of God is hidden, it operates out of weakness. It's a mystery. But God is building his church. He's building his kingdom. So there's the mystery of hiddenness and weakness. But secondly, Jesus tells this parable, I think, to say that the kingdom of heaven grows slowly. The mystery of slowness. And again, there is something countercultural here, isn't there? It doesn't just apply to the mustard seed, of course. It applies to many seeds. You plant a seed, it's very slow, it grows slowly. But we live in a very instant culture, don't we? We live in the age of microwaves, pardon me, and air fryer culture. Again, I read these silly statistics that today the three most common articles in a kitchen are the most commonly used are obviously a kettle, a toaster, but then a microwave, and shortly after microwaves, the air fryer. And they're quite instant, aren't they? Increasingly, people are just wanting instant meals there and then. You know, we live in the instant age of emails and social media, and this is our culture. And so anything that is slow is countercultural. I remember I was into photography a lot. I remember I used to take photographs. And the little films you used to get with our 24 or 36, you put them into the camera, you wind them on, and then you click, you know, oh gosh, another 23 to go, okay. And so you went and you photographed silly things just to get through the 24 and 36, and then you took it to the chemist, perhaps in Ballymena, or you maybe sent it off and you posted it off, and you maybe had to wait 2 weeks for this thing to come back. And then when it came back and you eagerly waited for the envelope, you opened it and you found that most of the photographs are absolutely duff. You get your finger in front of them and they're out of focus. And you know. And you maybe get one good one out of the 24, out of 36. You maybe get one good photograph. And the whole process took about 3 or 4 months. Now, with your smartphone and your camera, You can take hundreds, you can take thousands of photographs, and you can actually see instantly, most of those photographs are of yourself, if you're a Gen Z or an Alpha. We were on holiday in Corfu a few weeks ago, and we were on this boat trip, and we were sitting there, and we were taking photographs of the coastline and so on. There was this lady, she wasn't even a young lady, she was this lady, and she's sitting like this, you know. All through the boat trip, she was taking photographs of herself with the background. I think, so what a waste. You look at the beautiful nature, but no, she had to be in it. It was all selfies. Absolutely incredible. But this is our age. We are the instant culture. We're the selfie culture. And it has to be there right away. But God in this mustard seed kingdom works completely differently. It's slowness. It's deep. It's hidden. When God works in our hearts, it's deep and slow. Yes, we have a part to play as the Church of Jesus Christ. We disciple people. We create the right conditions. But ultimately, it is God who grows the seed. Deep calls to deep, as the psalmist puts it. Spiritual formation is a slow process. Again, the Apostle Paul, again writing in 1 Corinthians 3, says, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but it's God. It's God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. But we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building." So there's mystery here. There's a slowness. This little mustard seed, it's very insignificant. It's very small. You plant it. You almost forget about it for a while. But then it starts to grow slowly but surely. It grows and grows. God gives the increase in the kingdom. And that means we need to be patient. And for some of us that is difficult. Maybe some of us have children or grandchildren who aren't in the kingdom, who maybe have not acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And we just keep praying because it's God gives the increase. And we're faithful and we're patient. And it's not easy. But this is the mystery of the mustard seed, and it gives me hope, and it gives me encouragement, and hopefully it gives you encouragement as well. So firstly, there is the mystery of hiddenness. It's a hidden, weak work. There's the mystery of slowness. But God is producing the fruit. It will come. And then thirdly and finally, there's the mystery of power. There's power in this little seed. How can something so small produce something so big? Jesus says, "Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." Out of small, hidden, slow beginnings, God is building his kingdom. It's wonderful to see whenever God produces this miracle of new life in somebody. There's something mysterious about it, but the power of change cannot be denied. It cannot be manufactured. It cannot be produced by us. No, it is God's Spirit striving and working with a man or a woman's spirit or a child's spirit, bringing them into that place of belief and faith and trust. And the gospel is a powerful thing. It's wonderful to see it working, wonderful to see the change that it brings. And then at the end of time, when all is wrapped up, there will be people there around the throne from every tribe and tongue and nation declaring Jesus is Lord. People from the past, our past, but also people from our future, and they'll be gathered around the throne declaring, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And it's the power of God's word. It's the power of the seed. It's the power of the gospel that will do this. It's not our power. No, it's God's power alone through his Spirit. A vision was given one day to the prophet Zechariah. And it says in chapter 4 of Zechariah's prophecy, "Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. And he asked me, 'What do you see?' He said, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top. I see seven lamps on it and seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees, one on the right and one on the left.' And I asked the angel, 'What are these?' And he said, 'Do you not know what these are?' 'No,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. He will bring out the capstone, the shouts of God bless it, God bless it. The word of the Lord came to me again: the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will complete it. And then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things?'" Don't despise the small things. Don't despise the hidden things. Don't despise the weak things, because so often the power of God is in those very things. The power of God is a mysterious thing, but the power of God can change hearts and minds and wills. God willing, in January, we'll be doing another Alpha course. I'll not be there, but another Alpha course will run. And I always love being part of the Alpha course. You see people coming in with their questions. You see people coming in with their problems and anxieties and their curiosities and their objections. But week by week by week, through the meals, through the conversation, through the discussion, the questions, through watching the videos, you see defenses falling. And you see people being drawn into the hope and the wonder and the truth of the gospel. And I don't get too worried about dotting every theological I or crossing every T. I don't get too worried, even when I'm preaching, at covering absolutely everything, because I believe in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can work through our inadequacies and around our inadequacies and through inadequacies and the things that we forget to say. And the Holy Spirit moves. In every Alpha course, you see the Holy Spirit moving. And it's just wonderful to stand back and to see what he does as he saves another life, as he comes into someone else's life. And I can't do that, and you can't do that. Not even the course does that. But God, by his Spirit, just get people in the room, get people talking. God, by his Spirit, moves. And so over the years, what I've, seems strange for a minister to say this, but over the years, I have rediscovered confidence in the gospel, that this has the power to change lives. Because as we live in an age of nominalism, as we live in an age of people fleeing the church, as we live in an age of the abuse and everything that's been going on, there's the temptation to be cynical. There's the temptation to fall away yourself. But as I see the Spirit of God move, the power of God move, it has given me confidence in the gospel again. This alone can change lives. This alone can change your life. This alone can change the power of nations even. Nations can be changed. The mustard plant, the mystery of the mustard seed, it is so small, but there's such power in that seed. It grows, says Jesus, into one of the largest plants, and birds come and perch on it. That's how strong it is. And as a sidebar on this, it is worth noting that although the mustard plant is big, it is not pretty. It's not a pretty plant. It's not a cedar. It's not a mighty oak. But it is large. And it's, okay, not impressive to people's eyes. They prefer the cedar, they prefer the oak, and so on. But it's large, and God is doing something with it, and it's a useful tree. In fact, in many ways, the mustard tree is much more useful than those other trees. You know, most churches are not like High Kirk. Most churches are not big. You know, the average church, even in America, you know the average church size in America is? It's about 80 people. Usually you get the big mega churches and you think America's full of all these mega churches. It has big churches, but the average size of a church in America is 80 people. And God is building his kingdom through all these little churches and these insignificant churches. Beware of the church that emphasizes the celebrities and the big names. Beware of the church that detracts from the power of God. That's God as the hero. We're not the heroes. God's the hero. And the mustard tree, the mustard seed and the tree reminds us that the church may not look impressive to the world, but God is using it. God is in it. God is blessing it. And the final thing is the mustard tree is also known to be very resilient. It's very hardy. It survives in arid conditions. And in a sense, this is, again, a word of encouragement to us. The church is often written off. The church has been living in an arid Western culture, which is saying no to spirituality, or if it wants spirituality, it's not of the Christian sort. Again, 10 years ago, we had the new atheist movement. Everyone was buying and reading books by Richard Dawkins. Everyone was declaring, God is dead, God is not alive. They were writing off the church. And here we are today. The Bible is still outselling Dawkins. The Bible is still outselling any other book. And people, younger people, are rediscovering this. The story is told, and I'm sure you've heard it before, about the French philosopher Voltaire. Voltaire lived between 1694 and 1778. And in 1776, 2 years before Voltaire died, he made a prediction. He said that 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. 100 years from my day, there'll be no Bibles. But within 50 years from his death, the very house in which he lived was being used by the Evangelical Society of Geneva as a storehouse for their Bibles. I think God has a good sense of humor. And the printing presses that he used to print his secular literature were being used to print Bibles and gospel tracts. You see, God is the last say, and although the church may get very, very low, sometimes God relishes that. He says, oh, great, great, this is good, because now whenever I build things, they're going to see that it's me that's done this. It isn't through human ingenuity. It isn't through their talents or gifts. It's because God is the hero. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's hidden. It's weak. It's slow, so we've got to be patient. But we're on the victory side. But ultimately, it is powerful. The power of God will win out. That's a great encouragement. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. In these days in which we live, these days of cynicism, these days of technology, these days where they say humankind is great, Lord, you are greater. You are powerful. There is none like you. There is none like you. And so help us, Lord, to invest more and more in your kingdom, in how you think and in your priorities. Your kingdom is hidden. Your kingdom is slow. But your kingdom ultimately is full of power. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.